Hey everybody, welcome to this month's live call as part of the Sacred Science Inner Circle. We have a very special guest today. She specializes in something that is really near and dear to my heart. I got into this work through out-of-body experiences, astral travel. It wasn't something that I was ever intending to do. It was something that just started happening to me. And when I was in my teens, I thought I was going crazy. My mom thought I was either possessed by the devil, or if my mom's listening, she's gonna love that I just said that about her. But possessed by the devil, or maybe like schizophrenic, or needed some psychological help. It just turned out that I was having out-of-body experiences, and it was something that was not really given any context in my family or in the culture I grew up in. This is something that Rosalie E. Silva, who's with us today, specializes in. I'm just going to read a quick bio so we can get right into the wholesome goodness. Rosalie E. Silva is a yoga nidra and astral projection guide, award-winning journalist, and creator of the popular YouTube channel Rosalie Yoga, with over 140,000 subscribers and 16 million views. Drawing on training with the Monroe Institute, I've been there, the College of Psychic Studies, and other renowned teachers, she helps people access extraordinary states of consciousness for healing, insight, and transformation. Her approach blends yoga nidra, energy work, and evidence-based tools to support grounded, life-changing spiritual experiences. How are you, Rosalie?
I'm doing very well, Nick. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my God, I have so many things to talk with you about. Is this going to be, I don't know what we're going to do. We have about 57 minutes. We got lots of folks saying hi. Let me just say hi to everybody here. Hi, Christy from Connecticut. What? That's where I'm from. Where are you from in Connecticut? Diana from Sacramento. Gwendolyn is asking questions already. Good. We'll get to those questions. Sherilyn is from the UK. And we have Jenna from Switzerland who's saying hi. Litchfield, Connecticut. Nice. Yeah. Northern Connecticut. Respect. Much respect. Naugatuck. Yep. That's where my mom lives, right around there. Cool. And we have Canada from Cache from Canada. Tina from Chicopee, Mass. Awesome. Okay. I'm not going to get distracted anymore. Sorry, Rosalie. Can you tell me how you got on this path? Because I was on the path, thrown onto the path without really wanting to be thrown onto the path. I thought I was going crazy, as I said before. How did you get onto the spirit path?
Well, Nick, we really share that because exactly like you, I just spontaneously had out-of-body experiences when I was a teenager. And it was something that was actually a source of great fear because this is before the internet, right? So you couldn't Google what is happening. And when I would lay down, I would have these intense vibrations and it was very violent almost, like my whole body was shaking. And I would couple that with sleep paralysis. So you're really locked in, vibrating violently. And then I would float up to the ceiling and just see myself in bed. And it really, I thought I was being possessed, like your mom thought you were. I had no idea what was happening. And it made me really fear sleep. So my entire teenage years, I was so afraid of sleeping because this happened often. And when I was 19, I met a yoga teacher and I told him, oh no, I have to go to sleep. I really don't like sleep. I have all these weird things happening to me. And he told me, you have to read this book. And it was Robert Munro's first book, Journeys Beyond the Body, Out of the Body. And that changed everything for me. Yeah.
Oh
Yeah.
my. So this started when you were a teenager, or
13. Yep.
were there any whispers of it when you were
Yes.
really young?
Oh yes. So I've always had very strange experiences at night. So as a child, I would lay in bed and I would just see beings come to visit me. I wasn't afraid of them, but I just didn't know what it was. And they would take me places. But then I had a few bad experiences and I just, again, was just very afraid of sleep. So my parents would close their door. They'd actually lock their door, and I'd sleep in the corridor outside their door with a little blanket, just to be close to someone, because that's how scared I was of going to sleep and just having these kind of encounters. So there were definitely whispers of it. And because I was so afraid of sleeping, what I would do is I'd say to myself, can I think from my left big toe? And I do not know why I chose my left big toe or why I started to do that. But what I found is if I could go from my left big toe randomly, my right shoulder, my hips, what body parts, I would stop myself from falling asleep because it was always when I fell asleep that I had these experiences. And what I now know is I was practicing my own form of yoga nidra as a young child. But that all came to a head when I was 13. And I remembered vividly the house we lived in, you know, like my room, what it was, because it was really, really frightening. And it can be frightening for many people who don't know what's happening to them.
That's so crazy how similar our stories are. I remember when I was little, the first thing I remember is some light. My parents, you know, your parents put you to bed way too early. I mean, you think it is because you're not ready to go to bed yet. So you're laying there in the dark, looking at things in the dark. And like, then things just start happening. I just remember like I started being able to like make different colors and shapes happen. Mm-hmm. And that was fun to kind of entertain myself. But then other things started happening that were not me. Like I would just kind of lay there and then think once I it was almost like once I had opened up that realm of creation or imagination, then other things started using that same channel to communicate with me. Like it was no longer me doing it. It was like once the Pandora's box was open, there's no way it was not going to be closed again, you know?
Yeah.
Very interesting. So cool. So what is yoga nidra? So you mentioned yoga nidra almost you were practicing an early version of it. What is yoga nidra?
Yeah. So yoga nidra is a form of guided meditation. And what it does is it guides you through all the layers of yourself. So from the densest layer, from the physical body, into more and more subtle layers of yourself. And I mean, the way I like to visualize it is like you have these Russian nesting dolls.
Yeah.
At the very center, that little doll, she's like, you can imagine it like a bright light. Like this is the real you. And then more and more like dolls come on top. And from the outside, you can just see that one doll. What you don't realize is there's so many more layers. And yoga nidra guides you into deeper and deeper layers of yourself, into the most subtle realms. And that is like you're in the perfect state for out-of-body experiences. You can use it as a springboard to, not, I won't say effortlessly, but with ease. Like it's so easy. You're in the mind awake, body asleep state to use that as a springboard into the out-of-body state. When I started to teach yoga nidra, I'd have students come to me after, you know, like a longer workshop and say, Rosalie, I was in the corner watching myself. What just happened? And it's very easy in a state of yoga nidra to come out of body and to see yourself. There are many other ways, but that's the way I teach it because that's the way I do it. And it's also an effortless way because yoga nidra is not just about out of body experiences. It's a really transformational practice in of its own right. And so even if you don't astral project, you're gaining all the benefits of a yoga nidra practice. That's what I always say. And like, I really think that's like the best way to do it.
So is yoga nidra, is it more of a new hybrid or a new?
No.
No. So they've been got the yoga nidra's been around for as long as it's been around.
What is new is you might have heard the term coined by Dr. Andrew Huberman from Huberman Labs, non-sleep deep rest. So NSDR.
Yeah.
That's the modern term for a yoga nidra practice. A few of the elements of yoga nidra are stripped away, the more spiritual elements. But yoga nidra, because you're working like with the really subtle parts of you, if you plant a seed of intention, and this is what we do in yoga nidra called the sankalpa, it's the most fertile ground for that little seed of intention to really take hold and to blossom. So it's incredibly powerful for rewiring limiting beliefs, for working with samskaras, with it's just an incredible practice. I mean, it helped me overcome this debilitating fear of speaking like in a group. And I mean, really debilitating. So like in a work meeting, you know, the whole time we had to give an update. My heart would be racing and I would be thinking, right, what am I going to say next? Like that kind of real fear. And I had to change it because it was holding me back in so many ways. And I discovered yoga nidra then, and this is going like 20 years ago when I lived in Thailand. I randomly did a yoga nidra class and I thought, wow, I felt something there. And I worked with this little seed called the sankalpa. I speak with confidence and clarity. And it really felt like little by little, practice by practice, something was changing. And one day, about 18 months later, with consistent practice, I was in a group and I kind of saw myself from the outside. I pulled back and said, "Rosalie, you're speaking with confidence and clarity." Like that, it was like the realization that it had taken hold and flourished. And that paved the way for my career in TV journalism. I could never have done what I've done had it not been for Yoga Nidra. So it's really powerful practice. Yeah.
So is it good? I mean, it sounds like, you know, a lot, it sounds, my mind goes to like triggers and like almost like trauma work. It sounds like it would be an amazing thing to kind of like work on.
Yes.
Specific things that you can't really control. Like you couldn't control that you were having a hard time speaking in front of people. Sometimes like those things are just a little part of you that it's like, oh, I can't just say, oh no, from now on, I don't do that. It's like, no, this is my nervous system is wired this particular way. And
Exactly.
A lot of people who have serious triggers, you know, loud sounds, things like that. They're like, I wish I could change it, but I can't. Like, it's not me. It's like, I personally don't want to do that. But then when that thing occurs, I can't control it. But it sounds like with this practice, potentially, you could maybe get into those involuntary, seemingly involuntary limiting behaviors or limiting responses.
Absolutely. I mean, there have been a lot of studies done with Richard Miller from his iRest method, working with PTSD, people who suffer from PTSD. There's been incredible results with it. And it's exactly that. It's you're really working with those like deeply entrenched, we call them samskaras, these little grooves in the brain. You're really like creating new pathways in the brain using your sankalpa and other tools or many other tools.
Right.
But what's amazing is that it offers so many tools in its own right that you apply to your astral projection practice that really kind of like supercharges your practice. So yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, I hadn't even, you know, I mean, I went to the Monroe Institute when I was, you guys, for anybody listening who doesn't know the Monroe Institute, you should check it out. It's pretty amazing. This guy, Robert Monroe, he had a few radio stations, I think, in New York City way back in the day, like 50s and 60s. Some kind of near-death experience, maybe got hit by a car or something like that. I'm probably totally butchering this, Rosalie, but I'm just gonna do it. We'll forge ahead. You give me edits after I say. But he basically had a near-death experience, and then he started having these out-of-body experiences, couldn't explain what they were. So he sold all of his radio stations or his broadcast network, and then he put all that money into something called the Monroe Institute, where he started this kind of lab institute for researching and helping others with their out-of-body experiences. But I remember, is that somewhat accurate? Did I kind of get that slightly right?
Mostly, yes. Yes, that's right. And he's developed HemiSync. So HemiSync is a sound technology that really helps induce the ideal states for out-of-body experiences. But he went to all the different doctors and he thought as well, you know, something was psychologically wrong with him.
Right.
And this is, you know, way back. He was a real pioneer in raising awareness for this. You know, how much courage would it have taken for someone to publish a book explaining that he goes out of his body at night and has all these credible experiences when, you know, I mean, nowadays, okay, it's still a little bit out there, but at the time, and Robert Monroe for me is like one of my biggest heroes. He really changed the course of my life. I've trained as well at the Monroe Institute and I collaborate with them. So I send them my voice and tracks and they lay this incredible sound technology that they produce.
Oh my gosh, I could totally imagine your voice being the perfect voice to hear. Oh my gosh, you have that, like that, the melody in your voice. The thing about Yoga Nidra that's interesting is that when you go to the Monroe Institute or when you start having out-of-body experiences without the Monroe Institute, something that I've realized and I think was beautiful reading his book, because what he wrote in his book was like, I get kind of almost even emotional and tingly thinking about it, because it was so validating. I knew I wasn't crazy when I read his book, but he talks about how when you are going out of body, a lot of times it's terrifying. A lot of times in this in-between state of being in your body and being out of your body, there is this in-between state that can feel like, and I remember because I used to feel this way, and it was great that it was amazing when he said it, because it just was like, okay, I'm not alone. was that it could feel like you have, thousands of people looking at you. That there are thousands of beings that are watching you all of a sudden. You went from being in your room alone to now you feel like you have like the eye of Sauron almost on you for a second until you get out. And I just wonder, and there were practices he had. I remember the resonant energy balloon, which I want to talk about because it's very interesting. It comes up in my yoga practice sometimes. But I think that what you're talking about with yoga nidra could be an amazing way of navigating through that in between, like hinterland between like here and out. Like, 'cause it could be really scary for no, not that you're actually under have any threat, to your body or to your soul, or but it can just feel really scary. Just a different feeling of when you're crossing over. And I could imagine yoga nidra could be helpful. Those practices could be helpful to kind of like keep you centered.
Exactly. And it really helps you develop kind of this witnessing consciousness. So you're really taking on the role of more of a calm observer, which is the best kind of mindset to have, because any kind of extreme emotion, if you get too excited, too fearful, too anything in the out of body state, will pull you right back into your physical body. And like many people come to me because they want to reconnect with someone who's crossed over, and that you can absolutely do that in the out of body state. But it's not the easiest thing, because when you finally see someone you've been trying to connect with, to reunite with after many attempts, you get, and I speak from experience, so excited. Like you see them, like they're in front of you, and then you're like this, and then the whole experience just kind of fizzles back and phases out. And I had a cat. I love cats, but one in particular, I helped give birth to her, and I adored her. And she died very tragically, very, very suddenly. And I really needed to reconnect with her. And it took me like six or seven attempts, because every time I saw her, I would just, it was that overwhelming emotion. And it was really by using the tools that I learned in yoga nidra, really keeping my emotions in check, taking that witnessing consciousness, that I was finally able to reconnect with her. So,
Wow.
yeah.
You're just reminding me of like one of the last I still I don't have out of body experiences anymore. I just stopped them. I figured out a way to like close the aperture because it started getting so intense. I know this isn't really a flattering part of my story, but I just because I couldn't sleep. And so I stopped. And so it just got and then started getting more audio. I started hearing things. Started hearing things during the day. And I was like, I don't know if I can really do I don't know if I can really function and raise my children. And I know these are limiting beliefs, and I'm sure there are ways to actually have all these things and do everything else you need to do. But yeah, an unflattering part of my little history, my little story is I shut it all down. Like I've obviously I go, I meditate a lot. I sit in a lot of different shamanic ceremonies. I have all kinds of other spiritual things happening, lots of intuition. But I don't the out of body was just for me, it became so intense and so frequent that I was having a really hard time with it. But the last one of the last ones I ever had was we were in Morocco, my buddy Mark and I, and we'd been there for like a month or something like that. And we were in this town called Tangier, on the north coast, and so we were, and it's just this old sea town, and we were staying in a hostel, and the hostel was this old hospital. It was a hospital that had been turned into a hot into and the r hospital rooms had turned into these bedrooms. And it was like there was no one in there. It was like 10 stories, this old place. It was like it just felt like they hadn't cleaned it in forever. It was just and there was no one else staying there. They told us, so we kind of walked in the bottom. And we thought it'd be really cool to go up to the 10th floor and just crash up there. And so he was in one room down the hall. I was in another room, and I walk in the room, and like there were like bugs, and like so there were these little a lot of bugs. I remember that. And so I was like laying in this like hospital bed that was like converted into a hostel, to a bed. And I was laying there, and I was like, I don't want to go to sleep. I don't think I could fall asleep. And then, which is like the perfect conditions to have an out of body experience. And so I just remember flash forward. So like I have a light on, I'm kind of propped up on pillows. I'm like, I'm just gonna rest. I'm not sleeping because I don't want these bugs, crawling on me. And so and I was laying there, and then the next thing I know, boom, I'm like everything is infrared, kind of almost like an infrared kind of a look. And I am looking over at this being, at this person's laying on a bed, and then another thing floating above the person. And then I'm like, oh, dude, out of body experience. Okay. And I'm like at this weird, I'm looking at myself from like the third part, that like a third version of myself over by the window, looking at myself laying there. And then I see a form hovering over me, and I'm like, what's that? Does that mean? I kind of look over, and then all of a sudden, boom, I am like now above me, and I'm that part, I'm that thing. And I'm looking at myself hovering over me, and I'm like, everything's kind of got the same infrared, kind of like red hues, kind of a vibe to it. And I remember like I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, awesome, out of body experience, you know? And then I see this like form like next to my bed, kind of like where a night table would be. But it's like a form, it's kind of like crouched, it's like crouched like this, and it's got like, you know, it's like, and I look over at it, and I'm like, oh, that's a person. And like, I wasn't, when I think about it in retrospect, it's a terrifying image. It was like a Marilyn Manson looking type being, kind of like curled over like this with white face, couldn't really see its face. But when you're in that state, I feel like there's no fear. I mean, if you have fear, that's a bodily response, and you can't be in a non-body experience if you're fearful. So I mean, I remember being like, oh, cool. Lifeline, because I remember that was I was working with like Monroe and Stuart, like, you know, the lifeline where you go to the frequency of these lost beings and try to help ghosts essentially, you know, figure out that they're dead and like and help them transcend into the next realm. So I'm like, lifeline, so cool. And I started drifting over to this creature next to my bed, and then it turns up and she starts looking around like it can sort of can't see me, but it knows something's there. And it's like this like really scary, kind of like, you know, well, I don't know. It was like a really gaunt like woman's face, and she had like a spike in her eye, and like she was looking around, and like I was like, it's okay. I'm here to help you. And I did it so wrong because I was just so excited. I didn't do the thing. Like, there's a whole way. I'm sure you have probably a lot of experience with this. There's a whole way to talk to beings that haven't made the transition yet. And what I did was completely, I was not at all a master of these realms and never have been. I just know how to get thrown, I just get thrown into them, and I kind of just do what I do. There was no like mastery of like how to conduct myself. And so it just, when I said it, I was like, said something about how it was, you know, how she had died and how I was going to help her, you know, and she's freaked out and like just dissolved in front of me and screaming at me, dissolved. And then I kind of grabbed for her. And then like I have a whole sketch of this, like in my hand after she dissolved was like this dog skull. And then I was like, okay. And then I woke up and I immediately drew it all. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. This is very, I guess we're talking about like, you know, contacting other beings and actually what can happen when you go to certain realms of out of body. A lot of times when you go out of body, I think this is not just me, you're all by yourself in these landscapes, but sometimes you're on a certain realm where there are beings, which is interesting.
100%. I mean, there are so many different planes. I tend not to hang out in these lower ones.
Okay.
it's really kind of connected to your own vibration. So, but I'm very impressed with you that you weren't fearful when you saw something like that. You know, the initial response would be to like, ooh, and then the whole experience would phase away.
Right.
The best response you can have to something like that, to a being, is to radiate love. You know, love is the highest vibration of all. S
Yeah.
from the heart space, you just blast it with love. That has helped me so many times. And you really confront something. You know, what are you here to teach me? Show me your true nature is a very powerful thing to say. You really, you know, use your curiosity as opposed to being fearful. And the really important thing to remember is nothing can hurt you in these
Right.
realms. You are in a subtle non-physical body. So you are energy and light. It's not like a physical. I saw one comment that popped up and said, I love the realness. And it is so incredibly real. It's like, for example, like putting your hand on a wall, you can put your hand through the wall. So you would actually feel like all the different layers. You'd feel the outside, you might feel some brick, you keep pushing, and your hand pops out, you feel the air on the other side. Like the physicality, the realness is incredible in the out of body state. But this is like in the more dense realms that are closer to the physical. When I said I
Right.
tend not to hang out here, I tend to go like into higher realms, into the more astral realms where you can meet your guides, you can meet people, you know, loved ones that have crossed over. I do a lot of healing work, so I do a lot of energy healing. And My mom lives in Florida. I'll just give an example. And I couldn't visit her physically. So I would visit her at night and give her healing. I'd stand next to her and give her healing. She wasn't very well. She had been in the hospital. And she'd tell me the next day, "Oh, Rosalie, I dreamt about you." Like that was her perception of me. But any kind of spiritual work in the astral, whether it's meditation or healing work or any other practice you have, is amplify the power because you're already of energy form and you're working with energy. It is so powerful in these states. These are more the experiences I tend to go to. I don't stay very often this close anymore to the physical. But I mean,
Where would you, where would you, I'm sorry.
for most people, when they start, though, that's what it is. You know, like they roll out with their body or they sit up and they see themselves. They might feel very heavy. That's a very common thing if you've just starting having experience. You're because you're in your densest non-physical body. We have many different bodies, and what separates them is the vibration. Like you want to be in a higher energy body so you can go to the higher realms. And the best tip, I'll just throw it in, if anyone's ever in that situation, is to use your intention. Really strong command, always command what you want. So if you're feeling really dense, you can say, you know, lighter body now. Like that is very literal. If you can't see, which is very often, I don't know if you experience that, Nick. If you go out of body and your vision's blurry.
Yeah, absolutely. I've had a couple. I definitely have had those. It feels like
Blair.
you're sailing. It feels like you're trying to fly a feels like you're flying through cloud a lot of clouds and fog, and you can't see anything around you, but you know that you're out of body. For me, that's how it felt.
Clarity now. Command what you want. Clarity now. And this is
Really?
a tip from William Buhlman. And William Buhlman used to be the lead trainer at the Monroe Institute for their OBE program. He's written really if you only read one book to do with all of this, read Adventures Beyond the Body by William Buhlman. It's basically everything you need is in that one book. And
What is the name of it again? I'm sorry.
Adventures Beyond the Body. And his name is
Okay.
William Buhlman. He no longer teaches at the Monroe Institute. He's retired. But he actually, if you go to his website, he just published another book called Clarity Now, and he
Okay.
has made it available for free on his website. And he very kindly lets me voice. So he writes meditations. I voice them and I put them out on my channel. So he
So
obviously gives me
cool.
permission to do this. But yeah, thank you. Mylene's put it up. This is his tip, like to always command what you want. Same thing if you like very, very common, like you sit up and it feels like your lower body's stuck. You're only half in, half out. I don't know if you experience that as well. It's at the beginning, it's very common. Always focus on what you want. Don't say, "Oh, I'm stuck. My legs are stuck. What do I do now?" That's not what you want. You don't want always focus. Door now, kitchen now. Like really put your intention on where you want to go or what you want to out of body now. Focus always on what you want, not on like what's holding you back. I mean, in our everyday life as well. And that's what I love is so many things that you apply in the out of body state are applicable in your everyday life. So,
So good. I love how, I mean, it goes into something that's like another back burner documentary project that I've mentioned a couple times on here, which is just the power of words, like the word, like the power of words. I mean, there obviously the emphasis on clean. I mean, before we can start focusing on the power of words, we need to focus on clearing all the thought and emptying our brain and becoming one with, I call it one with the void when I'm meditating, because it somehow that void is not empty. That void is not nothing. And so I just like, but whatever that is what I connect with. And then it kind of takes over. And then from there, working with words really intentionally. So you're calling a word or like a command into being, and it's the only thing you're holding. And you can really feel how powerful these energetic packets are, and how much we misuse them and take them for granted and wash ourselves with them, all different kinds of them, all different kinds of words all day long in our regular life. But it's what you're saying about, like, clarity now, like those commands, they remind me almost a lot of something that Terrence McKenna, who's, I'm not sure if you follow Terrence McKenna's work, but he works with with psilocybin mushrooms. He's passed away in early 2000s, but he has talked a bunch about how sometimes when you're in these altered states, whether they're you're using plant medicine or some type of a any type of intentional intensity, sweat lodge, but anything where you're sort of going through a rite of passage that has a crisis almost built into it because it's so intense. When you're in those states of almost, not, I don't want to say dissociative states, but when you're in those deep states of trance, that sometimes using just one or two word commands, he talks about it. Like he's like, it's amazing when you're in these states, if you just think about the word, if you just say to yourself the word show, and then all of a sudden the experience will start showing. He said, but that same idea applies when you're in these altered states. I mean, I guess we would call this an altered state as well, right? I mean, we would call the out of body experience clearly an altered
Definitely.
state. When you're in these
Yes.
altered states, like these words can, when they're worked, when they're said with intention,
Yep.
can really like get you to another place and give you another level of understanding.
100%. Yes. And like a lot of these realms are very sensitive to our thoughts and to our words. So it really teaches you as well, kind of the power of your thoughts. If you think of flying, you're flying, that kind of, it's like immediate. So it really shows you how incredibly powerful it is. Not just a belief. Oh, I think, what I say is really powerful. You have firsthand experience of what that's like. And
Right.
that's also what I love about OBEs, is it really gives you direct firsthand experience. So it's not just a belief, it is a known. You know this because you've experienced it. You know that you're so much more than your physical body
Right.
because you've experienced it. It's not just a belief. And that I think is really powerful.
Why do you think we are so resistant and so afraid to believe that we have all this power? I feel like the idea this almost feels like it goes against my Christian upbringing, even though I'm not a practicing Christian, but all these things kind of butt up against a lot of what you're taught when you're young, even if it could just be in school, how insignificant you're sort of set, made to feel like you are. But the idea of just thinking that you could simply just say clarity now and like have that be a thing that you deserve to even see, what it's a there's an interesting like psycho-spiritual thing here where I think people don't a lot of times trust themselves to be the one who could actually have this sovereignty over their experience. This is not mine to have. This is God has that, Jesus has that, or modern science has shown me that I'm just a bunch of a bag of bones with some plumbing in it, and this is, I'm not that powerful, so I don't want to be a crazy person and think that I do have that kind of control. Like we're battling all these layers, like you said, like the I don't forget what they call the Russian doll, but like all these different layers need to be worked through and sorted to allow ourselves to just be in the experience and believe that we can think and we can manifest without there being any weird strings attached. You know what I mean?
I do. I do. Yes. And I think there's a lot of fear there as well. It's fear that's ingrained in us through our upbringing. You've mentioned religion, and a lot of people, will say, it goes against Christianity. I think it actually really shows you what you truly are. For me, it's like coming home to your true self, to yourself as, energy and light. And it's kind of the opposite of that. It's a gateway to really, really knowing your true essence. But there is a lot of fear attached to that. And but I do think it's changing, Nick. I do think more and more people are being, curious and wanting to explore this. And I read somewhere that scientists say that about 20% of the population, so one in five people, have had one fully conscious out-of-body experience. So I was surprised by that statistic because it shows that more people are kind of, experiencing this, or they have like a near-death experience. So when we talk about out-of-body experiences, It includes near-death experience and includes spontaneous experiences, but also it includes self-initiated experience. And that's what astral projection is. When you are intentionally trying to separate your conscious awareness from the physical body.
Right.
And so people who do this, like, they have to work through a lot of fear and a lot of limiting beliefs. I mean, those are the two biggest stumbling blocks. But I do think it's just rooted in, yeah, like you've mentioned, a lot of things. Control and religion plays a part as well. But it's an awakening. Like it's like really, really experiencing yourself as the fullness of you. Yeah, I don't think there's anything more profound than doing something like that.
It's really interesting what you were saying before, too, about how it can be paired with remote healing to make it even more powerful. Like I'm thinking about people who do Reiki, like long distance Reiki healing.
Mm-hmm.
Moline, who's on this call producing it, his mom is an amazing Reiki healer, and she has a group of Reiki healers in India that she works with. And I just wonder, I mean, I wonder how many of them are already doing this, and that's just kind of part of what they do. But so I'd love to talk about that from the healing perspective. You know, I've never thought about it like that. I never thought about out of body experiences as an aid. Obviously they would be. I just never thought about it like an aid in healing your own body, but also in helping other folks that
And absolutely. I mean, when you talk about healing yourself, there are actually healing planes that you can visit. You can ask, and it's super important when you start to practice that you have a really clear, like, intention. Like, what do you want to do out of body? And for some people, you know, they come specifically for healing. So they can say, take me to a healing plane. Again, like, your vibration has to be high enough to match, because you're going quite high. And you can be brought to a plane. What that looks like will be unique to you. It can be a temple. It could be Jürgen Zieve. He's an incredible out-of-body explorer. He goes to these states and he like illustrates them. He's illustrated some incredible, incredible healing planes. But this is for to heal yourself, but to heal someone else, you're already like in the energy. Like you see sometimes like streams of light. So you're not working like in this dense physical environment. You're already in a subtle, you know, energy environment. And so the feeling of it, because I do a lot of remote healing as well. And I do it like in the physical, but I very often will connect to someone and we will go on a journey together. It's not like a full out of body experience, but it's more like a mental projection, if you like, what the Monroe Institute would call phasing. Like they take me to a place and the energy experience as the one giving it is so profound. Like it feels different. You're working with a finer energy than you do here in the physical. I mean, so I have an astral projection course, and one of my students came particularly for healing. So she had a real chronic problem. And in May this year, she says she had the most profound healing experience. And that stayed with her for like 3 weeks. She was pain-free. And now like her experiences are just multiplying. But she only had that experience once. So it's not that you can always do exactly what you want, but you know, for many people, that is what they're trying to do, is to get healing for themselves. I mean, for me, my experience of giving healing for my mom, I was standing next to her in bed. And yeah, it's just that if you do already healing work, it's worth just playing with that. It's very different, because if you do healing work, you know what it feels like for you. Like in the physical, and then you compare it to the non-physical, and it's on another completely different level what you're doing. It's these things are hard to put into words. That's what I find. And again, it comes down to having your own experience of it. I'm describing it how I feel it for myself. That's my known, But for you, it's so important that you have your own experience, if this is something that you wish to, to play with.
I wonder, like, when you talk about the other realms, do you, oh gosh, it's so hard to talk. It's hard to talk about these abstract concepts. Do you see things the way that you, do you see things that look the same as they do on this plane, or have you gotten really good at understanding the significance and the subtle, and the, what things symbolize that might not appear to be what they are on this plane? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, there are many different planes. So I think I mentioned when you first come out, you're in this kind of parallel dimension. So it's like an energy duplicate of the physical. So
yeah,
things look very similar, and there'll be small differences. And these are like echoes of energy. So a rug might be there that's not normally there. A color might look different. So they're very small differences when you're here, like on the plane that's closest. But when you go to the higher realms, you have different kind of environments. So there's something called like a consensus environment, which is a group of people who like their belief system creates things that are more solid. So it holds it together. So they're whole like kind of astral cities, but it's kind of, it's, you can't change it. You can change yourself. You can think of flying and you're flying, but you can't change the energy structures around you. So this is a consensus reality. It looks very similar, but on a different, like, if you look at Jürgen Zieve's work, you'll see like some of the things you can see in these planes, like, you know, things that are hard to imagine with our limited
thinking. I need to look at
now.
So what's his name? Jürgen,
so Jürgen and Zieve, yeah, Zewe. He's German. He's written many books. Multidimensional Man is one of them. Really a kind person, but an incredible out of body explorer. And he like illustrates, you know, what he's seen in these realms, and it's just incredible to see. So you do see that. You do see things that look very physical. And then you see like other, other planes that are just like pure energy or formless things. Where you see just like clouds of energy. There are different kinds of environments that you can find yourself in. So it's being open, like really like taking on the mindset of you're an explorer, right? You're going to go out and discover all of these things. When you start and say, oh, it's meant to look like this. I heard that I should go here and it's going to look, then you're blocking yourself from so much more. So yeah, I always say like, have your experiences, like see it for yourself. Cause I love this, and I'll mention it because like lucid dreaming can also be a gateway into the out of body state.
Yeah.
And a great author, Robert Wagner, I heard him speak decades ago in London at a lucid dreaming conference. And he was like, you know, in lucid dreaming, you can kind of control the environment. You can walk into a garage and say, show me a red Porsche, and a red Porsche will pop up. He says, or you can say, I'm going to walk into the garage and show me the most amazing car I've ever seen. Whoa, like what you see is going to be like gazillion times, you know, more wow than a red Porsche, right? So sometimes we limit ourselves by thinking, you know, that's the ultimate. That's always stayed with me. And I've taken that approach into my OBE journeys as well. Let yourself be surprised. Let yourself be like amazed by what you see. Don't let your mind kind of like put it into a box for you. Yeah.
Do you feel like this is a consensus reality? Sometimes it feels like the one that we're in has got a serious consensus.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. I there's one place I go to quite often. I haven't been there recently, but over weeks I was going to the same consensus reality, and I was kind of teaching people to fly because people thought they couldn't fly. And I was like, you can fly. And they're like, you know, I had like whole little groups. I was showing them is just with your intention. Think of flying and you're flying. And this, you know, someone would say, there's no way you can fly. And I know she's not going to fly. Someone else would say, okay, I'll try. And then, you know, she would fly. But I don't know why I kept going back there. And I was like on a real mission to help people like realize that they can do a lot more than they're actually doing in a consensus reality in the astral. It was a funny time.
Do you ever meet people like, you know, do you ever tell friends like, hey, let's go do this tonight, and then you meet them and
yes,
they're there together?
Oh yeah,
really?
Yeah, you can definitely have experiments like that. And there's a really amazing group on Facebook called Astral Projection Techniques. I'm an admin of that group, but many of the world's leading experts are also admins, including, for example, Bob Peterson, who's really William Buhlmann's also, William Buhlmann's editor, Claudia. I mean, it's a really great group. It's the best Facebook group. And there, someone, his name's Leo, he organizes monthly meetups. So he'll set a target and he'll say, let's all meet here at this time. And everyone, you know, does their own practice depending on your time zone, and then you try to meet. I've had successful meetups, not on this group, but like on retreats. I've used to help someone organize OBE retreats, like in Ireland, a long time ago, like an old castle, like full of like kind of weird energy, and I had some incredible shared experiences there. We would all say, let's meet in the like the drawing room, and a group of us would meet. You know, it's people who are able to come out of body more easily and stay in this realm. And you have 100%. You have really cool experiences, shared experiences. I've seen my husband. No, I haven't. No, I'll tell the story. It's a funny story. I woke up. First thing I do every morning is I share my dreams with my husband. And I was like, I had an OBE, an out of body experience. He's like, I know I was there. And I was like, no, I didn't see you. He's like, yes, I was waving to you, and you weren't responding to me, and you were doing this, and that. And I was like, oh my God, he saw me. Because that's very funny. And he's not someone who practices. He's just someone who occasionally has an out-of-body experience, because I talk about it a lot. And, you know, he hears me talk about it all the time. So,
That reminds me of, have you seen the telepathy? Have you ever listened to the telepathy tapes? I mean, it's almost like the
yes.
Hill, how they all hang out and they meet at the Hill. I wonder, is that
out
of body? I mean, it sounds like an out of body experience to me.
Yes, 100%. When I heard that, 100%. That's the, for me, yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Everyone listening, you should definitely check out the telepathy tapes if you haven't. You probably have all heard of it by now, but it's pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing. How do you feel? How does this layer onto? And I'm just going to check. Let me check this chat. I've been really greedy here, and not even. I don't think anyone's really asking lots of questions. They're probably just riveted at everything that you're saying. Tina's actually. Let's. I want to do one from Tina here. She says, for someone that is blocked because of trauma and loss, how does one start this journey?
Yeah, that's difficult. If you're blocked because of, I would say start slowly and kind of build up your practice. So something like starting something like, you know, like a yoga nidra practice can really help you kind of heal before you try to move on. I would suggest, Tina, that you maybe look at something like a yoga nidra practice. It can be incredibly healing, really touching the parts of you that are, you know, or are most in need of being nurtured and held. And once you feel like you're ready for something, to progress into the out of body practice, if that's what you feel called to do. A lot of people who are trying to reconnect as well, you know, with someone who's crossed over, it's very difficult when those emotions are still raw and still very needing to be addressed. So I'm sorry if that's something you're going through.
My friend Rainbow, I live here in Boulder. She's an amazing woman. She owns a restaurant up in one of the canyons here. I probably shouldn't be mentioning her by name, but she probably wouldn't care. She I think is thinking about going to the Monroe Institute to do exactly that, to connect with someone who passed a few years ago.
Yeah.
She feels like this person is still all around her. Mm-hmm. And And she just feels so much of this person's presence, and she's like, I think maybe this person comes to her in dreams sometimes, and she's like, I want to learn how to go out of body so I can connect. And I guess what I wonder is there a certain, is the intention there almost preventing you from being able to do it because there's almost like a need or like a clinging to something, you know, you're grabbing, you know, what you resist persists and what you grab for resists, or whatever you want to call it, you know? You know what I mean?
I 100% know that it's the energy that you're bringing to the practice. It shouldn't
Right.
be like a real place of desperation or like real like this. It's that witnessing consciousness, like really being able to kind of pull back and allow things to unfold, because a lot of the time it won't. You might like in your mind think, oh, this reunion, this is what's going to happen. It will look very different. So the more you can just be open to whatever happens and
Right.
know that even if it doesn't happen then, every experience you have is progressively making it more possible, opening more doors for you to eventually, be able to reconnect with someone. I mean, my father died 2.5 years ago, and I was not close to my father in real life. Like, it wasn't anything, we just weren't close. I've connected with him 3 times. He's come to me, and we have a better relationship now, like in the out of body state, than we ever did, like in physical life. And I think the reason we're able to connect is because there wasn't that strong, I was not trying to connect with him. He came to me. There wasn't that real desperate, like, I really need to see this. Like I had with that cat, Daisy, that I described, that was really like I needed to see her to
Right.
have closure. And that's why it was so hard for me. But training, this witnessing consciousness I mentioned, that really made a huge difference for me, to be able to do that.
What do you think happens when we die?
I think when we die, we transition to ourselves as pure energy and light, and we go to the consensus reality that our belief system has created, whether that is your heaven, whether that is, all the different religions have their own kind of consensus realities, their own heavenly realms. So it depends on your belief system, what happens to you. And Robert Monroe has written extensively about all of the different, heavens and places, that you go to when you die in his last book, Ultimate Journeys, if you want to look at that. And the thing is like it does completely transform your relationship with death. Like I can 100% say I'm not afraid of dying at all. Like it's simply like it's no longer me in this form, but I know my form that's going to go off because, I experience that so many times. It really does change your relationship with death.
I remember when I first started. Yeah, I guess I don't have a big fear of death. I haven't in a while. Probably have taken bigger risks with myself because of that in the last 20+ years that I might not have taken it earlier on in my life. But it's funny because I haven't had odd body experiences in a long time, and I forgot about that aspect of them where you're just at some point you're like, oh yeah, okay, got it. I am just this energy being in this particular, this vessel walking through this particular reality right now. How does it dovetail with, I remember, I don't know if Robert talked about this. I feel like I've been to this place before, and I only was recently reminded of it when I was talking with someone about the Akashic, this idea of the halls of knowledge. I probably does talk about it. How does this dovetail or overlay with like the Egyptian mystery traditions? And are there beautiful ways of understanding those kind of very esoteric and like hard to really piece back together traditions once you have access to these astral realms, because now all of a sudden it's just right there potentially for it. I'm putting tons of words into your mouth, but I was just asking you, how does it overlay with the Egyptian mystery traditions, and have you ever had access to the Hall of Knowledge, and do you know how to get there?
Yes, and it's like everything else, to get anywhere you want, you command it. Akashic records now, wherever you want to go, you just command it. But again, like your frequency has to be high enough, like you sometimes aren't able to access those higher, very higher planes. And the way to do that again is everything is about intention here. So you would simply say, higher energy body now, higher energy body. You really start to tune your energy and you feel it. It's a very visceral kind of inner shift. Like you feel that sensation, and then you're able to go, or you end up somewhere completely different and you're thought, oh no, I didn't make it. It's something. I don't have extensive experience with that. Like it's I don't have much to add to what you've asked. It's something that you should find out for yourself, Nick. Like that's what I say. Like have your own experience of it, and you would be able to to have a better a real understanding of it. Yeah, I don't have much experience with it.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think I went there one I think I went there once or twice, probably just once, where it was something that talked to, I feel like Robert probably talked about it on one of the, maybe not in the books, but in one of his CDs. I used to have all the CDs,
Yeah, the Gateway
the
series.
Gateway CD, yeah. And that, I believe I did go there at one point, but yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating how like this takes a lot of the stuff that you read about in these different traditions, and you get to experience it very really. You know who really does a good job of talking about these realms, and I know he's a controversial fellow, but Rudolf Steiner talked about those things in his, oh my gosh, I forgot what it's called. Doesn't matter. He does a really good job of describing some realms that I've never known that other people could describe. It sounds almost like your German friend with his with the illustrations, where like you look at the illustrations and you're like, oh my God, I've been there before, and it's just so beautiful to have the validation of other people, other beings on this consensus, in this consensus reality, being able to say, no, the things that you've seen on your journeys, I've seen them too. I mean, there's something about that that's such a beautiful thing.
I want to add as well, like you can sometimes end up somewhere and it's you realize it's actually something that's been presented to you to work through, like a past life, for example. Like it's something that you've been brought to this to be able to resolve something. So I've done a lot of I've realized I'm in a past life, not with the intention of going there, but I just ended up there and I realized that's what it was, to be able to work through something that was being mirrored to me in my current life here. So past life work is very powerful as well when you do it. It's kind of unlimited. I have one student, he's Cosmos now, and he's a very kind of very he's a meditation teacher, he's very deep meditation. He ends up in the cosmos all of the time. Like that is his thing, and he can do it like really quickly. He wants to explore this part. So it's unlimited what you can do, where you can go, what you can see. And again, it gives you your experience of it. So you're not reading about it in a book or hearing about it from someone else, but it's like you're known of what's happened. That's why
How
it's powerful.
often do you go out of body?
It depends. It really depends. And I think that's important to know, that your practice goes through peaks and troughs. Like it's when I'm really stressed, like or very busy, I don't have experiences. Like that can go on for, it can go on for months. I've had dry spells for months and months. Normally, I would have about two experiences a week. Sometimes I have two experiences a night. Like it goes up and down, and I've tried to hone it down. What did I do that day? You know, there are things that you can, that's why it's important to make a note of these things so you can start to recognize patterns in yourself. Don't eat a heavy meal before you go to bed. Practice the wake back to bed method. So not as you go to sleep, you know, in bed, wake up after a few sleep cycles, move to a separate area, and then practice there. That will greatly increase your chances of success. There's certain things that you find, but I have many more spontaneous out-of-body experiences. If I want to give someone healing or something, I have, you know, I deliberately astral project. But when I lay down at night, like I can feel it. Like it's this, and I don't know if you've had that, Nick, because we share that experience as teenagers. You can just sense undercurrents of energy within you. And it's like a radio dial. You're tuning in and you feel it. Like tonight, I'll go out of body. And so for me, it's like, it goes up and down all the time. But when I'm really in tune, when I'm, you know, doing a lot of meditation, I love yoga nidra. If I do gong baths for me are very powerful. If you travel and you stay in a, you know, in a unfamiliar place, like a hotel room or something, you're much more likely to have an OBE. So it's these kind of things. You know, I'm going on holiday tomorrow. I'm flying off to Vietnam, and I'm looking forward to like having an experience probably every night because I'm going to be in a new place. And I know that in myself that almost most likely I will have an OBE without putting too much effort. Like I go to bed and I can just sense it, and I'll like wake up in the vibrational state and off I go. So it changes all the time. Yeah.
I have to get back in. Got to get back into it. I think it's really just, I don't think it's going to be hard. I think it's honestly, I feel like I've kind of put on these like a spoiler on the back of a sports car that makes it not go, or I've almost put this little restrictor on to kind of not have it happen. I don't even know how I did it. I just know it worked. It stopped. But I feel like it's almost time to start going back in again for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, how do people find out about all of your incredible work, and how can they sign up for whatever you, oh geez, there we go. Moline already pasted it into the chat thread. Oh my gosh, he's right there. Amazing. Guys, look in the chat thread. This is all of Rosalie's stuff. Your YouTube channel has 140,000 subscribers. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a great place to start. Like if you want to see, you know, how you integrate yoga nidra with out-of-body practice, I have a lot of tracks. And for me, like that's been the most amazing thing is people reaching out to me and say, you know, I had my first OBE on this track, or, you know, you've opened this door for me. Like Robert Monroe opened the door for me. Knowing I can do that for someone else is incredible. So yeah, YouTube is a great place, or my website. Yeah.
Someday we should talk about maybe we do these workshops on our platform, these 7-week workshops, and they're pretty awesome. I mean, everyone on this call has probably partaken in them, or at least been to the free webinars that go along with them, but it'd be kind of fun for us to explore doing a 7-week workshop with you someday, if that was something that you'd be interested in. We have a variety of different ones. We have Sandra Ingerman, Shamanic Journeying. All different, really beautiful 7-week experiences. And I could just see this being so powerful if someday we partnered on something, but something to be discussed down the road. I'm so honored to have met you today.
Likewise, Nick, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. It's been really great.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I am now back on. I have to start breaking out my Robert Monroe tapes and looking at your YouTube videos. Cool. Well, safe travels to Vietnam. That sounds delightful.
Thank you.
Hopefully
Thank
we'll
you.
Cross paths again sometime.
Hope so too. Thank you so much, Nick, and everyone who watched, who tuned in.
Bye everybody. See you next month.
Bye.